It's great to continue on in our More Than Me message series this weekend, where we're encouraging you to see your lives as a gift from God and how you can use what He's given you to bring Him glory. You see, we've all been uniquely gifted to give that unique thumbprint on the kingdom that He is building in the world around us. It's so great to be a part of a community that encourages us to look beyond ourselves, because we all have a story, don't we? And it's great to have Brady and Zach with us. Brady's got a really unique story, and I wanted him to share a little bit of that this morning. Brady, it started in some little town in Minnesota in a big family, right? Tell us about the early years.
That's
real quick.
That's true. I'm actually a triplet, for those that you don't know. There's three of us that are the same age, and we don't look alike, which, thank God, there's not three that me on the earth. We're fraternal, so two boys and a girl. And then I have another brother, another sister. So
one of five.
We had a lot.
You're always fighting for stuff, right?
Yeah, we had some pretty epic wiffle ball games.
I bet. So did you grow up in a family of faith, grew up in the church? Tell us about that.
I did, yeah. I'm from a really small town in Minnesota called New London. It's a town of 1,000 people, and there are probably more people that pass through these doors this morning than are in my whole hometown. So sometimes that gets a little intimidating, so thank you for being nice. But my dad was a volunteer worship leader, and my mom played a little bit in the community band. Do you guys know what the community band is? She was a saxophonist. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, saxophonist. Something like that.
So I did. I grew up in the church, and you know, I think when I was 4 years old, my mom got one of those little letters sent home to her that said, "Your son Brady accepted Christ into his heart today." Mm-hmm. So
it's encouraging for me, being a worship pastor, knowing that you grew up okay, being a worship pastor's kid. That's right, you did do all right.
Well, I have lots of issues, okay. So I'm still trying to work through it.
We'll talk through some of those issues.
Yeah, not too many of them, hopefully. Yeah.
So growing up in a family of that size, did you always feel a need to try and fight for attention, or talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, that's true, actually. I have a number of songs about that. But I think my mom, she told me this one time a couple years ago. She said, there was three of you at the beginning, and I only had two arms, you know, there's only two of us in the house. And so one of you always didn't get held. And she goes, I've always felt bad that you didn't get held enough. And I wonder if that ever played into sort of the development of my own personhood. And, you know, I think in my life, I've done a lot of things that have been in a performance sort of world. I've performed well at school. I've performed well in some athletic things. I've performed on stages, and that's one thing I've always had to be aware of is in this moment, am I trying to get sort of the affirmation and the attention that I've always longed for by doing this, or am I doing this out of a place of security and belovedness, knowing that I want to offer a gift to the world? And those are two real different heart attitudes to sort of do what we do.
So talk a little bit about, you know, that early stuff. You said you did well at school, you did well at sports. You did a little bit better at sports that you're letting on. And before you answer that, take a look at this, guys. This is a little
Brady
bit better.
Brady stands in from the left side. Vanek's going to work from the stretch where the base is loaded. The pitch is coming. Swing and a fly ball to left field. Hit pretty well. Going back is Napolitan. That ball's gone! That's a grand slam home run!
That wasn't just any Grand Slam home run. That was a walk-off Grand Slam to send his team, the Arkansas Razorbacks, to the 2004 College World Series, right?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was 12 years ago.
Tell us about the journey there and what that moment was like, and that big moment in baseball.
By the way, if you are thinking, where's the sermon, your pastor and your team here let us hijack the whole thing. So.
We'll let you decide if that was a good thing later.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was a really big moment. It's probably the biggest moment in my baseball career, as my senior year at Arkansas. And I walked up and there was two outs in the ninth inning with the bases loaded. And we were down by two. And I took a first pitch changeup and got lucky into the jet stream, and it barely got over the fence. So it was a beautiful moment, you know, for me. There was a lot to that story, and some people may not believe this, but I remember stepping into the box, and when I looked down at my feet, there was this, you know, sometimes thoughts or phrases kind of run through your mind. Out of the blue, this phrase ran through my mind that was, this is what you were born for. Hmm. And for some reason that ended up happening, and there was a real actually cool moment on my team with some of my coaches, and if you want to talk about sort of the furtherance of the gospel, there was something that happened that moment that my coaches looked at and they said, there's something bigger about this. And a couple months later, my pitching coach, who was a very bitter man, rededicated his life to God. And there was that moment had a part to play into that. And then my head coach said a few comments that you could tell that he was head softened. And so there's more to that story than me just hitting a little home run. And it was a big moment.
Did you get caught up in that whole ambition in professional sports? You're the 10th round draft pick with the St. Louis Cardinals. Tell us about that journey and what that did to you as a person and your sense of identity.
Yeah, I think when you do something for so long in your life, so I played baseball for 20 years, and I don't know if I've done anything for 20 years, you know what I'm saying? So when after that day, the next morning, I got drafted in the 10th round by the St. Louis Cardinals, and I went on to play 3 seasons in the minor leagues. And, you know, it sounds kind of glorious, but it was horrible. It was brutal. It was you're living in buses, and if there was any time to have a chiropractor on staff, that was the time, you know, but we're making $800 a month, and there's no way we're getting a chiropractor. Zach over here is actually a chiropractor. He's a doctor. You think he just plays lap steel? He's actually a chiropractor, and I think by the end of the day, I'm going to need his help.
We might be lining up for adjustments.
That's true, actually, but there's something about, you know, when you do something for so long, you find your identity in it, at least a little bit, and we can talk about, I guess, when I got released. I got called into the office of the head coach, and he sat me down and said, it's time for the organization to make a change. We have to let you go. And this was 2006. The next morning, I packed up my car, and I started the long drive from West Palm Beach, Florida, up to New London, Minnesota. And I think the shocking thing was, well, what now? And, you know, we all have different identities, I think, in our life. We have what we look like, how much money we might make, the job we do, you know, what sort of group we belong to, what church we go to. We have all these sort of identities in our lives. But when those secondary identities become primary, meaning the one we kind of define our core self by, that's when I see, when I've seen the problems arise in my own life. So in that moment, I had to go, wait, what do I find my identity in? Do I find it in my own belovedness in God or in Christ? Or am I finding it in these external things that pass away? And for me, it was a moment where I could say, okay, it's time to dig my roots deeper. And how do I relate to myself in this moment? Is there something greater about me than hitting a home run? Is there something greater about you than the most, you know, great external thing that you do? And I would say that we know from the Bible, we know from our walk, our journey in God, that yes, there is actually something far, far greater in the truth about who you are.
Every kid dreams of a moment like the one we showed on the screen, but you find
and a lot of adults as well.
Yeah. but you hear when those moments happen, they're never enough. It just makes you want more of that. Yeah. How have you dealt with that desire in your life? Didn't ask that one last time.
Not well. Yeah, I think my whole life has been not enough. And that's sort of my natural bent to want to achieve. And I found that about myself the last couple years is I go, okay, why do I have this deep ambition to achieve more, to accomplish more? Is it because that's how I'm naturally wired? Maybe. But is it also trying to get something? Is it trying to get some sort of approval? You know, I grew up in the athletic world where it was, what have you done for me lately? And the coaches loved you when you hit home runs, and when you struck out, they didn't like you. And so I learned to hit home runs. I didn't hit a lot of them, but I got one of them, you know? So I forgot the question.
How you deal with the desire to just want more and more.
Yeah, I think of what I've realized is that in this moment, I can be okay with this moment and what it has to offer me. And knowing that I can actually give myself love, or open myself maybe up to the love of God, you can phrase it in a different way, by being okay with myself in this moment. And that's kind of been a big thing for me to learn, actually.
So what about the journey from baseball to music?
So my journey in minor league baseball was often, I refer to it like David being chased by Saul in the wilderness for 7 years before he became king. And during that time, you know, we read a lot of the Psalms, and they were sort of very intense moments, I think, in David's life as well as some of the other psalmists. And I actually began to write some songs when it was in these sort of dark places, and started to put lyrics and melody to some of the feelings that were passing through me. And so after I got released, I decided, well, maybe I'll make a record. And so I got some friends who were way better at music than I was, and I gave them my songs, which weren't very good, and they basically made me a record. And I sang on it, and that was about all I did. You know, I think I tried to play a little bit of guitar, and they were like, no, that's not very good. We're going to play.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. He's awesome.
No, when I play guitar.
Oh, okay. He's not that awesome. But that began my musical journey, and it was kind of an experiment. I, the reason I started music was I think I've always sung. I mean, it was like people ask me, when did you start singing? And I said, I don't know. When did I start breathing? You know, that's sort of how I feel about it. And it was a thing where I knew that when I did this, when I sang or was a part of music, I felt alive, and I was chasing that feeling. You know, I think we all of us have different gift mixes. We have different makeups and chemistry and inside us, and there are things that you do and only you can do that sort of harmonize and line up all the ways that you were designed and knit together. And for me, music was sort of that thing. And I just thought, well, if I could do that for a long time, that would be amazing. And so I went on this journey, and it was about 9 or 10 years ago. And in the midst of that, maybe 3 years in, moved to Nashville and made a little record and continued to sort of see if it would work.
Now your songs are blessing churches all around the country like ours, and we appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
So faith, baseball, music, I got to mention this. Can I ask you some questions about that?
Nope, we're good. I'm good. So y'all are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Yeah.
So how many Twitter followers did you get after that little stunt?
Too many, way too many.
So, okay, you can answer this question, I'll answer it. Are you still single?
No comment.
Okay, because we've got a bucket of roses backstage. We can distribute them.
Please stop.
All right, all seriousness. What did you learn from that experience?
So many things. It was definitely out of my box, traditional box. You know, I wasn't going to do the show. My mom likes watching the show. Does any of your moms like watching the show?
And she obviously wanted you to get married, right?
Which probably. I don't think she wanted me to get married like that, though. She was a little nervous, to be honest with you. But the backstory is one of the girls who was the bachelorette that season who got voted off, her name is Britt, and we actually had some mutual friends that I found out before I did the show, and she seemed like such a lovely person. So I decided to go on the show just to meet her. And so when she got voted off on the first night, and they kept the other girl with sort of a twist for our season, I decided that I couldn't be dishonest with the whole reason why I came on the show, and that's why I left. And they sort of made it kind of a side story throughout the rest of the season. And so we dated for a couple months, and she's so lovely. She's a great person, and we're still friends today, but we are no longer together.
So being a Christ follower in the midst of baseball and the music industry is one thing, but Hollywood and that, talk about how faith played out in that world and what you learned from just being in that world.
Well, man, it's so hard to say in few words, but I guess for me that experience, we all have catalytic. That's the word. I'm going to make up words this morning. So we have these sort of moments when we're thrust from one place to the next, and one of my favorite authors is a Franciscan priest named Richard Rohr, and he says that we are primarily transformed in our lives through three primary experiences, those of great pain, those of great love, and ethnic experiences where we step outside our natural world and we see through new eyes. And this was sort of like all three of those put into a blender that times a million and then shaken up, and then I had to drink it. And so what it did for me, it sort of opened up my heart in a whole new way. And I think, Tim, one of the things that I most learned in that experience was how fragile the ego is. Mm. That it's easily inflated by the praises of men, and it's easily deflated by the criticisms that we hear. When you do a show that's in front of, I guess, millions of people on national TV, you open yourself up to all the things that people want to say. And I didn't know how to handle that at first, to be honest with you. Mm. And I think in the midst of it, I realized I need to find my personal worth and value in an even deeper way. You know, baseball, ending baseball was one thing, but now how do I anchor myself, not in the praises of man or the what people think or my reputation, but can I truly anchor it, my roots deeper in the love of God? Mm. And that was a time where I actually had to really lean into my family and my close friends, and they really helped get me through it.
So two quick final questions. Okay. You've seen what God has given you as a gift. We're in this series, More Than Me, Being More Than Ourselves, Living Generously. What's your advice to others living out their story and how to see what they have as God's?
You know, I think a lot of people, maybe this morning you see this and you go, wow, this is so impressive. And, you know, the truth is we've only shown the highlights of my life. You haven't seen all the ways that I've completely failed. But I think also there can tend to be this lie where we think, if we do really big things for God, then we are more important or we are more loved or something like that. And I think I stumbled across a Mother Teresa quote some time back that said, it's not the size of the task that you do, but the size of the love with which you do it. And, you know, we talk about using our gifts and maybe furthering the kingdom or sowing into the kingdom. And I don't know if there's anything greater to sowing into the kingdom than a mother waking up and loving her son or loving her daughter and pouring them cereal and changing the diaper and doing the laundry. And I'm not saying that mothers are the only ones that should do that. Fathers, I'm not a father, but maybe if I am a father at some point, I hope to do all those things as well. But I'm just saying it's the small things. It's the small things and the great love with which we do it, I think, that matters. And I guess that would be my advice this morning.
That's great.